as a man, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one, the enemy is whisper lies and let them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save, you alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive. Of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God.
Communism is dead, they said. I think they lied. It's truth they hide. For still survives in the good old USA. Eh? Right here it lives and here it breathes and feeds upon our liberties. And you have the nerve to say it's not that way? Well, they're taking the patriots away. Ha ha, they're taking the patriots away. Ho ho, hee hee, ha ha. To the prison camp where life's unbearable all the time. And I'll be happy to see my patriot friends again as they shackle me in. And they're taking the patriots away. Ha ha. Here come Jack Blue, the thugs in black, to smash your doors and stomp your cat, to rouse you out in the late, late hours of the night. Wrong. At 3 a.m. they scream and shout and scatter your living room about. With threats of death they swear as they tear up your rugs. For guns. They're taking the patriots away, ha ha. They're taking the patriots away, ho ho, hee hee, ha ha. To the prison camp where life's unbearable all the time. And you shouldn't shoot back at those men in black with their ski masks on and their weapons drawn. Cause they're taking the patriots away, ha ha. The twisting thread shall stretch and snap, the straw shall break the camel's back, and tables when they turn shall bring a swift end. Friend, yes, things divine can wrench and bend the well-laid plans of mice and men. And when they do, what will you traitors do then? When?
We'll be taking the traitors away, ha ha. We'll be taking the traitors away, ho ho, hee hee, ha ha. To the prison camps, where a salesman awaiting them all this time. And I'll be happy to see their face in its proper space, filling jail space, as we're taking you traitors away, ha ha. To the prison camps they've quietly built so recently, and won't they look cute in their prison suit, and their shackles on, just shuffling along as we're taking the traitors away, ha ha. Where there's jobs for you in that human zoo, and you'll work all day without any pay, but that's okay, there's nothing to buy in there anyway, and we're taking you traitors away, ha ha. And won't they feel dumb as they see us come to round up the rest of them one by one as we're taking the traitors away.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day, have him win.
I'd rather die than be your slave. I will survive. changed while man has stayed the same. Tribal families rule not over me. I will not let them break my liberty.
He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I have read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rose of steel. As he deals with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since my God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. Sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching.
His truth is marching on. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 30th day of October, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is End Times. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda, Cumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Pastordan.net, and we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there, where we keep current events, lots of information about preparing, health care, guns and ammunition, any of the kind of things that the remnant of our Heavenly Father on this earth need for the latter days that we find ourselves in. Another page is called Contact Us. There's information there to send a message to me if you don't have my personal contact information. And also the home page, the very first page or home page, where you can find information to help us out with a donation if you feel so led. Remember, the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of Yahweh God will not protect you. Hallelujah. For anybody who wants to send a quick note during the broadcast, I try to monitor my ministry email, which is BYD, Bravo, Yankee, Delta, Pastor Dan, and all of that is all together, no spaces, at yahoo.com. Remember, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And that was Richard Buckminster Fuller. That's what we're attempting to do here in a biblical fashion. Build a new model that will attract our people, as it says in Scripture, that, you know, set up my banner, set up a banner. In the old days, before electronics and everything, military men on large battlefields would have to use men with trumpets. And sometimes even trumpets could not be heard above the clash of warriors on a battlefield with swords and spears and shields and such things. So a banner would have to be used. And that's where you see the men with the poles with different flags and banners on them. That was a way to signal the troops in the field. So when the Bible talks about a banner or a symbol like that, it's talking about something people can see from a distance and relate to it and respond to it. They would either rally to it, or they will get encouragement from it, or they get instruction from it. You and I are His banners in the latter days. As we walk about amongst our people and we show them that there is a better way. That's the job of the Aryan man and woman, to show the world there's a better way. When we walk in accordance with our Father's law, when we're outside of our Father's law, His commandments, His statutes, etc., then we're no different than the rabble around us. You look at white people today, they're disgusting. The average Aryan today looks like a piece of shit compared to our ancestors. Why? Because they're going the way of the world. They've abandoned Yahweh. They've turned their back on our Creator Father and the way He expects us to behave. What made the Aryan race so great in the past? The fact that we acted like a bunch of banshees that are around us, a bunch of these zombie, diaper-wearing, liberal, libtard, faggot-loving people around us? Or was it because we stood out against those things? We showed that there was a better way, as Mr. Fuller says. And that's what many people now are endeavoring to do. I'm working with men and women in Tennessee, Texas, and Florida right now in the common law movement to get our local jurisdictions, our local assemblies put together where we, the people, take back our rightful place and our power. Even in the Constitution, which, again, the Constitution doesn't apply to you and me. It applies to public servants. The Constitution has nothing to do with you and I. It's a contract with our public servants. But even in the contract with these so-called public servants, who think they are our masters now, it says that all power is inherent in the people. Okay, that's a biblical concept. Meaning that you and I, even though they treat us like slaves, all power is inherent in us. They get their lifeblood from us by us giving and acquiescing to their draconian ways. We empower our enemy. When we learn to say no, I will no longer obey my servants. I am the master of this house. When the white race remembers that we are the masters upon this earth, not to enslave the world. We are the masters in the sense that we are the Aryan Israelite men and women that Yahweh put here with a commandment, with a burden, with a job to do, to tend my garden. The white man and white woman have forgotten that. I put you here, says Yahweh, to tend my garden. How many people tend a garden by letting the weeds choke out the vegetables that are growing in the garden? How does that tend a garden? Obviously, it's not. And I know full well what it takes because as children on the farm, my brother and sister and I, it was our job to weed the garden. We had a very large garden by the house. As soon as we got home from school, it was grab rakes and hoes and go out and rake the garden from one end to the other in between the rows of the different vegetables. To where when my mother and father came out to inspect, there wasn't a blade of a weed to be seen. Bare dirt is all they saw between the rows of our vegetables. That's how you tend a garden. You don't let the weeds choke out the fruitful plants that are among it. And the white race has backed away. We have acquiesced. We've given up our primary function to be upon this earth. What the hell's wrong with our people? I picked out some verses for today that have to do with the end times and just wanted, even though it's precarious, even though it looks as ugly as it does, there is some good news going on right now. There is an awakening, and I want to give a shout-out to the Florida Gators again on Telegram and the National Socialist Movement here in Florida, where they hosted an event over this weekend near Orlando. So there is an element of our race that still has a backbone, an element of our race that still doesn't mind stiffening up and saying, I'm backing up no more. So it's not all lost. Not every one of us has given up. Not every one of Yahweh's people upon this earth has said, I'm going to tuck tail and run. There are signs of the Aryan race coming back to life everywhere. Now, are many of our people race traitors and betrayers of our race? Certainly they are. But doesn't the scripture and the prophets within the scripture, don't they tell us it would be that way? Just look up the end times and some of the things we're going to read here today. It talks about the fact that our people have gone the wrong way. We've fallen victim to what our Messiah told us not to do. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. And remember, hypocrisy comes from the Greek word hypokrates, which was their word for an actor on the stage, somebody pretending to be something that they are not. That's what acting is all about. Hippocrates, hypocrite, same thing, pretending to be something you are not. And look at the world stage around us right now. It is jam-packed full of actors, hypocrites. Now, part of that verse said, beware the leaven of the Pharisee Jew and those who act like Jews. What did he mean by that? The leavening. What is a leavening process? Oh, your preacher is going to tell you, oh, that's yeast. He's talking about yeast, the way yeast works in dough. When I remember my mother used to put the yeast into the dough when she was going to make homemade bread and homemade dinner rolls and homemade pizza. So I watched as the leavening through the dough would work, and that little lump of dough down at the bottom of the pan hours later would be up over the top of the pan and starting to overflow the top. So a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump used to be a saying in the Amish country where I grew up. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, meaning if you put something in there like leaven, it will affect that greater mass. And that's what Yahshua was trying to tell us. Beware the leaven of these actors, these hypocrites, these Pelosis, these Schumers, these AOCs, Zuckerbergs, Gates, Soros, Rothschild. They're all the same, cut from the same cloth. Beware the leaven, where they go in and they make small, almost imperceptible changes in a thing or a process. That is the dictionary, Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary of the English Language, that's sitting right here on my shelf. The leavening process, anything that causes small, almost imperceptible changes in a thing or a process. Small, almost imperceptible. But if your eyes are open, if you're imbued with the Holy Spirit, you can see the small changes that they're making. Many of us have been screaming from the rafters since the 1970s, when it was obvious there were bad actors. There were hypocrites within America trying to undermine our Christian constitutional republic, this nation founded by white men and women for their posterity. That is a fact. That is not hyperbole. That is not fantasy. That is a fact. The United Sovereign States that came together from colonies were for the posterity of the white men and women on this land. That is why our founding fathers said, if you weren't white, you have no political power in America. You do not hold public office. You do not sit in a jury box. And you do not cast a ballot. There are qualifications in an election. That's why they call it voting today, because it's meaningless. Our ancestors held elections, and electors would cast ballots. You see, they don't refer to it that way anymore, because an elector has to meet qualifications. And what were the qualifications in America in the beginning? You had to be white. You had to be a man. You had to be free, not a bond servant. You had to be a property owner, showing that you have skin in the game. All common sense. The man represents the head of the household. There's no need for a woman to cast a ballot or a vote. No need whatsoever. The man represents the household, the women or wives and children. He represents them. They get together. The heads of households get together. They decide the direction our country will go. They sit in the jury box, decide guilt or innocence. Not a judge, not a lawyer, not a prosecutor, some pimp prostitute that works for the state. You want to know why you don't have justice in the land? Because you've walked away from Yahweh. You've walked away from our Heavenly Father in His ways. You've turned your back on the King of Kings. You've gone the way of man. And you wonder why everything is dystopic. You wonder why it's falling apart. It's no mystery. You can look at a microcosm of what I'm talking about when you look at a proper family with a healthy white male in charge of the household. When he's in charge, everything works. When he's righteous and he issues righteous commandments to his wives and children, things work. There's harmony, there's progress, there's health, there's justice. When the white man acquiesces and turns away from that God-given commandment, that obligation to be the righteous man within the household, when you abrogate that, you allow the enemy to come in and take over. Look at this country today, United States of America. It's disgusting what we have become. It makes you shudder sometimes to think where we could be and where we are. We have sunk that low. I've talked to many of the best men, and I am privileged and honored that I know some of the best men that walk this country. Yahweh has put them in my path, and we've remained friends in some cases for decades. These are men that I would go shoulder to shoulder with into battle any day of the week, as long as I draw air. These are the kind of men, excuse me, that I know that Yahweh's talking about. Men that are truly heads of households, that deserve to be in positions of political power instead of the riffraff that make up this cacistocracy of misfits and miscreants. It doesn't have to be this way. It's up to the people. My beloved father, when he still walked this earth, used to tell me that all the time. Danny, things will never change until the grassroots, the men and women at the grassroots level, decide that they want to change. Nothing you say, nothing anybody says will accomplish squat until the men and women at the grassroots level say, I've had enough of this bullshit. I've had enough. How much do we have to see before we say we've had enough? It makes me wonder. I thought we'd be at war against the establishment by now for sure. And here we are almost into 2023, almost into 3 years of this complete insanity. And people still think there's something called COVID? Are you a complete retard or what? Stop calling it COVID. It's the fucking flu. And excuse my French, but I'm so sick of this bullshit. Men and women with an IQ above room temperature, and you're still calling it a freaking virus. You're calling it COVID. It's the flu. All they did was stop calling it the flu and call it something different, and you went berserk. You went nuts. You lost what brain power you had and bought into this great big Jewish effing lie. Wake up. Shut that goddamn television off. How many times have we said that? I'm at the point where if you're of the white race, if you're an Aryan, and you're still watching that thing, I don't want anything to do with you. Stay the hell away from me. All right? Just stay away. Please, do me a favor. And I don't care if it looks like I'm in trouble or whatever. Just let me go. But stay away from me. I don't want you anywhere near me. If you can't tell that black box and that flat screen is of Satan and there's absolutely no value in it whatsoever, then you need to stay the hell away from me and stay away from those that I care about, because you're just dumber than a box of rocks. because that's the only reason anybody at this point in time would not be able to figure out what the hell's going on, is because you're still watching that Jew box. Talmud vision. That's what TV stands for. Talmud vision. You're inviting Satan and Satan's kids into your home, into your mind. That's why the scripture says to guard what you allow in through your eyes and ears, what you see and what you hear. Guard it. Because whether you know or not, the things you see with your eyes and hear with your ears affect the way you think, even if you believe yourself to be strong enough to handle it. I'm telling you, you're not. That's why the enemy took control of the media right away. Took control of the money first, and then went after the media. That's the way Satan's kids work. They have a modus operandi. You need to figure out how it works. Modus operandi, Latin just for method of accomplishing their goals. It's how they operate. Modus operandi. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit says expressly that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to seducing spirits. Boy, oh boy. Like sports figures, celebrities, political figures, newscasters, seducing spirits. You could even throw in there preachers. The most contemptible people on earth today. Yeah, I know a lot of people say, well, it's the Jews, but who's even more contemptible than them? The Jews are doing what they do because it's in their DNA. Okay? If you listen to the scriptures, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, it would have told you that. It's these preachers who pretend to be of us and preaching the doctrines of devils, which this verse right here is talking about. Paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons or devils. What they're teaching in the churches today, that's what exactly that is. Doctrines of devils. Through the hypocrisy of men who speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. Some translations have that a little different, but what is it? It's called seared conscience. Seared. What is searing? Do you ever see the old westerns or the movies of antiquity when men got hurt on the battlefield? What did their brothers do to them to cauterize a wound? They seared the wound with a hot iron or a hot blade of a knife. That is searing. So when the Bible says that their consciences were seared as with a hot iron or a hot knife or any metal object, it's talking about you form a scab. The searing process instantly forms a scab to stop the bleeding. But when you sear it and you form that scab, nothing gets through. It's hard. So our people today, their consciousness is seared. That's why it's so hard to get through to some people. Do you ever look at them? They got that deer in the headlight look. That's because their conscience has been seared. They don't have a conscience anymore. They don't have empathy. They don't have the ability to reason as a white man or woman should. They don't. Their conscience has been seared over. You can't get through. It would take an act of the Almighty to get through that kind of a barrier. That's why we waste our time talking to some of these fools. Yeshua said it, if you go into a city or a town to preach my truths, if they accept it, stick around, fellowship, teach. But if they don't, knock the dust off your feet and keep right on going. There's nothing that says we have to save every white man, woman, or child. Some of them aren't worth saving. I'm sorry, but they're not. Same thing goes for the other races. There's some of them that just ain't worth saving. Get used to it. Yahweh's will is going to happen, folks, whether you like it or not. Verse 3, forbidding marriage. Now, when it says forbidding marriage, forbidding proper marriage between a man and a woman of the same race, forbidding marriage, and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, what do they tell you that means today? Oh, you can eat pork. Bullshit. No, that's not what it's talking about. Telling people not to eat the foods that God created, like marijuana, like organic nicotine in organic tobacco, or like any of the other plants that the pharmaceutical giants don't want you to have because they're medicinal. So they tell you it's a weed or it's toxic. Telling you you can't have it as food, when in fact that's exactly what you should be consuming because it is medicinal. It's not talking about garbage like shellfish, lobster, clams, oysters, crab, pig, even rabbit. Yeah, you're not supposed to eat rabbits. Well, why is that, Dan? There should be, no, you can't eat rabbit because rabbit is full of parasites. I remember when I lived on the farm, the hunters in the local area used to ask my father for permission to hunt. Sometimes they would go hunting rabbit, but you know, they only did it in the winter. So I asked my father one time, why is it they only hunt the rabbits in the winter? Because that's when the parasite level's the lowest. It never goes away completely, but the lowest level of parasites in their hides and in their flesh is during the cold winter months. So does Yahweh want us eating things like rabbit? No. No, he does not. For every creature of Yahweh God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. If it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of God in prayer. Now, a lot of the modern teachers will tell you that makes it everything that was forbidden in the Old Testament is now all of a sudden good enough for you to eat. Pete Peters, Pastor Pete Peters of Scriptures for America, that I was honored to have met and known, and we didn't agree on everything. He was a single seed line guy, and I'm a dual seed line teacher. But Pete did a really, really good job on a sermon one time when he said, What miracle was performed to make unclean food clean upon the crucifixion or death of Yahshua? What part of that act of him either being sacrificed or dying, what part of his passing cleansed a pig? How was a pig different the day before and the day after Yahshua's passing? Explain that to me. When I listened to that sermon, it sunk in. It forever stayed in my mind because it was perfect truth. It was so simple and so true. Exactly that. How the hell did all these unclean things that Scripture tells us not to put in our bodies, how did they become all of a sudden pure on the other side? Obviously, this is a mistranslation in the letters of Paul, which a lot of the heresy within the white race, the theology of the white race anyway, a lot of the heresies come from the writings of Paul. And it's interesting that in Paul's own words, he said, do not take my writings, these letters to the churches, do not take this for new law. So in the words of Paul himself, but then again, these are the same retards that are sitting in these churches are the same retards that in the past 3 years, every one of these so-called mandates to put a dirty diaper on your face, every one of those mandates that I read had exclusions in them if you cared to use them. Every one of them. And yet the white race dutifully put a dirty diaper on their face, stayed 6 feet apart, wiped out the middle class, and enriched the Jews sitting at the top to the tune of trillions of dollars, and never once thought, well, maybe I can use these exclusions at the bottom. It says if I have a health reason, or if this, or if this, or if this, you can oppose it. And I know it works because that's exactly what I did. I showed them the Americans with Disability Act paperwork and the HIPAA laws. And I told them that I had medical conditions that would not allow me to do it. And it worked right from the beginning. I took a copy of each state's mandate and highlighted the portions where there were exemptions. I said, this says right here, exemption. This is the mandate, and it has exemptions. How many white people did that? Almost none. Almost none. If you instruct the brothers of these things, you will be a good servant of Yahshua, nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you have followed. But refuse profane and old wives' fables or wives' tales. Refuse them. Exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise has some value, but godliness has value in all things, having the promise of life which is now and of that which is to come. You're going to live to see it, folks. You're going to live to see it. This saying is faithful and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we have set our trust in the living God, Yahweh, who is the Savior of all men. Well, wait a minute. What did he just say? We have set our trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe, command and teach these things. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was a new God who did away with the God of the Old Testament, because, you know, he's an angry God and vengeful God. You know, he's that Jewish God. Really? That's funny, because Paul says here that he is the Savior of all men. Isaiah says the same thing at verse 33 and 22. Chapter 33, verse 22, it says the same thing. Yahweh is our Savior. There is no new God called Jesus or Yahshua. In fact, the very word Yahshua, the name that he went by, Yahshua, HaMashiach, the anointed Yahshua, the chosen Yahshua, the name says Yahweh saves, Yahshua. That's funny, Dan. I thought we had a new God. We got a new church. It's a New Testament Zionist Christian church, you know, Dan. Really? So I guess Paul doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. I guess Yeshua didn't know what the hell he was talking about then, because you guys today are smarter than those guys were. You have some kind of new enlightenment that you can throw all the commandments contained in the Old Testament and other writings, by the way, not just the Old Testament. There are other books and writings that belong in our libraries. Verse 12. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to those who believe. In word, in your way of life, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, pay attention to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. With the laying on of hands of the elders, be diligent in these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your progress may be revealed to all. Pay attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Are you paying attention, Aryan men and women? You are the banner for the latter days. You're the tip of the spear, as Jeremiah calls us, his battle axe and weapons of war. Yes, that's why they don't want you reading the Old Testament. Jeremiah, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. They don't want you to read Psalm 149 that says it is the honor of his saints, his called out Aryan children, to execute judgment on the nations and the peoples. What judgment might that be? How about God's law? Do you think he's talking about man's law? Do you think he's talking about what a bunch of kikes sitting in a Congress or a parliament come up with? No. You want to see what they come up with? Take a look outside your door at the world that they have created. That's the dystopia that comes about when you allow Satan's kids to run the show rather than the Aryan men and women that are supposed to run it. The scriptures are the owner's manual for us being here. The scriptures were never written for all the other races to read. That's why they were written in Aramaic and Hebrew to begin with, and then later in Koine Greek. Those are the languages of our race, the Aryan or noble race. Oh, Dan, you sound prejudicial there, Dan. You know, Jesus, he just loves everybody, Dan. I mean, come on. Really? Then for thousands of years, these teachings went amongst our people only. And then along came the printing press and cheaper paper and cheaper ways of making books, and all of a sudden Bibles were everywhere because that's what the Catholic Church told us, Dan. It's our job to save all these souls out here. Good luck with that. That's why they look like a deer in the headlights when you start trying to preach to them. Oh, there's a few exceptions here and there, but you don't make rules of governing your world based on the tiny exceptions. Okay? The fact that one out of 10,000 blacks behaves himself doesn't mean you ignore what the other blacks are doing and ignore what they've done to your society. That's the sign of insanity. That's the sign of a retard. You can always make exceptions for the exceptional people, but you do not forgive the antics of the majority based on some Jewish bullshit story that it's our job to love everybody. It's the job of the white man to feel guilty for being accomplishing what he's accomplished, and he must kiss the ass of every single non-white out there. And it's amazing how many, at least what appear to be white people, buy into the bullshit. But you see who the people that buy into this story the most? The exact people that the scriptures warned us that men would creep in and teach them ungodliness, which is women and effeminate men. The Greek word for weak-willed women in the New Testament, and I got this straight from a guy from Greece, that Greek word stood for not just women, weak-willed women. It stood for effeminate, weak men. Yahweh, bring us lions. Again, teach our men to be lions again, please. Stop worrying about what women think. Stop worrying about what your adolescent children think. It's lonely being the lead dog on a dog sled team because he's up there all by himself. But the rest of the sled team and the man on the sled are depending on that lead dog, knowing what he's doing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're the lead dog, whether you like it or not. You're the tip of the spear. Yes, it is a lonely, thankless job. because most of these morons walking this earth don't have a clue what the hell is going on. But it does not change your job and what you've been commanded to do. You are to be leaders. You are to be a beacon to the lost, just as Yahshua. Now picture Yahshua walking this earth. Picture that. Here's a man of Yahweh. I say Yahweh in a flesh body, but it's still a mortal man who embodied everything of Yahweh God. Walking the earth amongst the dregs of society. How do you think he felt? How would you feel if you had all that knowledge of how things could be? You had all that knowledge of the truths of his scripture and the way things really truly work in the world, and you had to walk amongst people that didn't give a shit about any of it. Queers, trannies, almost the misfits of every stripe. Transsexuals now. And as the Apostle John said, the worst of the worst is the satanic Jew. Now people, you know, some people say, well, Dan, you know there's good Jews. Well, let me ask you a question, fella. There's good Jews. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's probably true. Not every Jew's got $1 billion sitting in the bank. Not every Jew has the opportunity to change our legislation and corrupt our morals and corrupt the church, etc. Yeah, that's true. Not every one of them is. But let me ask you this then. There's good ones out there, right? How many of them read the Talmud or go to synagogue? Because the synagogue of Satan, where they teach the teachings of the rabbis in the Talmud, is of Satan. So you're telling me these good ones go to that rabbinical teaching and watch and read the Talmud, but they're somehow good? Explain to me how that works. When Yahweh himself, in a flesh body, Yahshua, said that the doctrines of devils was to be opposed. He said the tradition of the elders was a bad thing. What do you think he was talking about? The tradition of the Zion elders. The ravings and rantings of rabbis who think they are smarter than God himself. So explain to me how that works then. How these people can go to the same synagogue that all of these monsters like Monsanto's leadership and CNN's leadership and on and on and on of all these satanic Jews lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, raping, sex slave trade, organ harvesting. They're engaged in all that, but somehow it doesn't rub off on them, even though they go to the same synagogue, even though they read from the same Talmud. Even though they claim kinship, and yet they're okay, but we need to lynch the rest of these guys. How does that work? You know, I'm just a simple farm boy. So to me, in simple Aryan thought, that doesn't work real well. So you need to contact me and explain to me. You know, it's funny. I've now reached 23 years on the radio, and I've constantly said, if you can dispute what we talk about here, I will be glad to give you free airtime, and we can have a debate, or you can express what you believe to be true, that will undermine or change our minds about what we're talking about here. However, if you want to come on the show with your emotionalism and perform ad hominem attacks against the Aryan race, no, I'm not going to give you a platform to spew your emotionalism or your subjective fantasies. But if you've got cold, hard facts, if you have sound, rational thought, and you want to dispute what we're talking about, yeah, I'll be glad to do it. But in 23 years, I'm still waiting for the Jew or the non-Jew to want to come on here and debate us. I have a theory why that is, but I'll keep that to myself. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, in the last days, grievous times will come, for men will be lovers of self. Narcissism comes to mind here, doesn't it? Lovers of money. Sounds like greed. Sounds like bankers. Sounds like most people today love money. They'll do almost anything for money. Boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, which means they blaspheme the living God and his commandments. Disobedient to parents. It's not talking about earthly parents here. A lot of people say, well, we got to honor our mother and father. I don't know about you folks, but in my years of walking this earth, I've either heard about or met many parents who are not worthy of being obeyed or respected. Now, maybe it's just me, so you can set me straight if you want, but I have met many parents who don't deserve that. So what do you think he's talking about here then in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Disobedient to parents. Because that word should have been translated ancestors. The righteous ancestors all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. All the way back to the beginnings of the white man upon the earth, which has only been about between 7,000 and 8,000 years. Okay? Obedient to the teachings of our ancestors. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of parents out here that ought to be hanging in trees. Dan, how can you say such a thing? Because I know many women of our race who have been sexually abused by members of their own household. I'm going to tell you something. If I find that out, I'm putting a noose around that person's neck and I'm going to hang him in a tree. Oh, well, Dan, but they're a relative. They're a brother or a father or an uncle or a grandfather. Yeah, that's right. But you know, rape is rape. In fact, when you would rape one of your own, you're worse than the criminal out on the street that rapes the stranger. You're worse. So if the one in the street, the stranger, needs to hang in a tree, you don't think that the relative of the girl needs to hang? Or in the case of young boys, their mothers, their aunts, their grandmothers? Granted, that doesn't happen near as often, but it does happen. A rapist is a rapist. It matters not if they're related to you. Continuing, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. What would that mean, Dan? Without natural, like a mother towards her child? How many of our Aryan women are aborting their children, murdering their children? How many of our Aryan women won't breastfeed their baby and give it the start in this world that they deserve? They'd rather put poisonous Enfamil and baby formula in her mouths. Without natural affection. Or how about the mothers and fathers that take their baby boy down and have him butchered, have him mutilated by the doctor in a thing called circumcision? Without natural affection. Or they go to a hospital to have the baby in that sterile, noisy, white, fake surrounding rather than the lady squatting with the midwives and having the baby natural. Without natural affection. You think that might be what he's talking about? Unforgiving. How many of our people are in that category? Unforgiving. Especially you ladies. I know a few men that way, but you ladies are terrible about this. Unforgiving. Somebody does you wrong, you want to hang on to it for decades. Sometimes for an entire lifetime. Unforgiving. Slanderers. Without self-control. I can't tell you the number of Aryan men and women I deal with that are completely out of touch with this one. they don't have hardly any self-control. Their emotions, their greed, their lust for fleshly pleasure drives them every single day. Fierce. We got a lot of anger problems. Not lovers of good. Traitors. Headstrong, which means stubborn. Oh, Dan, I ain't going to listen to you. Or like when we bring up the idea of the righteous biblical monarchy. Oh, Dan, I ain't going to ever live under no monarchy. Oh, you're not? What are you going to do when Yeshua shows up? Last time I checked, he's going to sit on a throne as a monarch. So what are you assholes that are headstrong about that one? What are you going to do? Well, you know, like, well, we had a king and we threw out the king. Yeah, we threw out the king because he was a tyrant. There were many men who went to George Washington and asked him to be the king of America. George Washington didn't want to be king. Actually, he should have been. We should never have gotten rid of the monarchy. So perhaps George Washington was part of the cabal. He wanted us to be under a constitution and a form of government that the Constitution formed, which can be subverted. Much harder to subvert a monarchy. Conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh God. Holding a form of godliness, but having denied its power. If you deny its power, it means you deny Yahweh. You know, for years when I was a boy, I always wondered, what do you mean by that? Having a form of godliness but denying the power. Because if you don't really believe in the Almighty, there is no power. You deny His power to control what's going on in this earth. You deny His power to forgive you your sin. You deny His power to heal your body and your mind. So you have the form of godliness, you'll say the words, but it's just lip service. Turn away from these also. For some of these are people who creep into houses and take captive gullible women. Now, this is the Greek words I was just talking about. Gullible women and gullible effeminate men, loaded down with sins. What are sins? Transgression of God's law. How many of our white Aryan men and women are violating God's law every single day? With impunity, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah, we spend endless hours scouring the internet, reading books, reading articles, always learning, just never coming to the truth. The simple truths. Why? Because it's too simple. White men and women typically think everything's so complicated, only special people can solve their problems. I'm going to tell you something. In my travels, I've found some of the smartest people at the local tavern. I've found some of the smartest people doing menial jobs, whether it's picking up garbage or working down at the auto mechanic shop doing menial tasks in there. I've met smarter people doing those things than I ever saw coming out of a university. University produces educated idiots most of the time. We're not talking about exceptions. We're talking about the general rule. Even as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind, who concerning the faith are rejected, but they will proceed no further, for their folly will be evident to all men, as theirs also came to be. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecutions and sufferings, those things that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. I endured these persecutions, the sufferings, those things that happened to me, so that Yahweh delivered me out of all of them. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Yeshua will suffer persecution. Amen. You want to see persecution? Start teaching identity. You want to see persecution? Do like the Florida Gators and the rest of the NSM. Take a stand for the white race. You'll see what persecution's all about. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Oh, yeah. Take a look outside your door. Deceiving and being deceived. Yeah, these people, their heads are mush. But you remain in the things which I have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. Scriptures to make you wise for salvation. Do you think this is the same salvation that these corrupt whore churches teach? This Greek word salvation has nothing to do with what they're teaching. Salvation is to protect you from physical harm here on earth, such as teaching natural health versus the pharmaceutical medical death industry in this country, which is in Yahshua. Every scripture is Yahweh breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that each person who belongs to Yahweh God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, these are the end times. And as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. By this we know that it is the final hour, or the end of the age. Okay? Little children, we are like little children. You've heard Antichrist is coming. Yeah, that's all these book writers, most of them Jews, by the way, like Hal Lindsey, etc. Oh, the Antichrist, you know, you got nothing to fear until you see the Antichrist. It doesn't matter that we got millions of these Antichrists swarming all around us, destroying this world. No, no, you stay going to that there church now, and you sit in that pew and you listen to that bastard up in the front. We paid him good money to go through seminary and to teach you the doctrines of devils, so you sit your ass down there and you listen to him. Don't you look at many antichrists, many anti-white antichrist, Judaic, Talmudic, zombified communists are around you. Don't you dare look at them. You look for the antichrist. Who benefits? Qui bono? Who benefits from that? That's right. The nefarious Jew benefits from you sitting around listening to these pontificating assholes behind pulpits talking about Jews are God's chosen people. Yeah, they're chosen, all right. Go read the book of Obadiah, verse 18. You'll find out what they're chosen for, and I'll bet you most Jews don't like reading that verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is now, beloved, the second letter that I have written to you. And in both of them I stir up your sincere mind by reminding you that you should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers will come, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Have you heard that before, folks? For from that the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The naysayers, you've heard them, folks, the naysayers. Oh, we've been hearing about the crashing of the economy for decades, and it's still going. Yeah, right into the toilet, but it's not here yet. Oh, we've heard about the coming of Messiah, but he's not here yet. Pay attention. Blah, 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 naysayers everywhere. For this they willingly forget that there were heavens from of old, and an earth formed out of water and amid water by the word of God, by which means the world that existed then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that exist now and the earth by the same word have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Yeah, Malachi chapter 4, coming at you. Coming at you, folks. But don't forget this one thing, beloved. that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yahweh is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient with us, not wishing that anyone should perish, but all should come to repentance. Yeah, white man and woman, you Aryan, repent. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, destroyed like this, what kind of people ought you to be in holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of Yahweh, which will cause the burning heavens to be dissolved and the elements will melt with fervent heat? But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, a lot of people misinterpret that. That is biblical analogies. Again, fire is always what? Righteous judgment. It doesn't mean literally a flame and a fire. It's talking about the results will be just like a fire. A fire burns up what? It burns up dead wood. A forest fire will burn away the dead wood, but the strongest and greenest of the trees typically survive. The best survive. The strongest survive. Those that took precautions survive. The fire does not consume entirely. It consumes those not worthy to go on. You watch what happens to many of the white race in the coming years. Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, be diligent to be found in peace, without defect, and blameless in his sight. Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, he wrote to you, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things. Remember, the writings of Paul were letters. They weren't new law, new doctrine. In those, there are some things that are hard to understand, amen, which the ignorant and unsettled twist, as they also do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. For instance, thou shalt not commit adultery, Dan. You should not try to take your neighbor's wife. Really, that's funny, because I read in the Septuagint and it's telling me don't race mix. Oh, so maybe there are ignorant and unsettled who twist don't race mix into, well, you know, adulterating is making something pure or impure, but in this one case, we're going to say adultery is having sex with a married woman. Are you kidding me? You people, oh, wait a minute, that's right. You put dirty diapers on your face, and you have for years now, even with a mountain of evidence that says it's bullshit. And you're still doing it. You therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware, lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, like John Hagee, Kenneth Copeland, and the rest of the lying profligate morons out there professing to be men of God, but teaching the doctrines of devils. You fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Yahshua. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. Amen and amen. I don't know what it takes to wake our people up. I'm stupefied sometimes. I got a few more I want to read, so be patient with me. I want to read Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to go through it kind of quick. But you need to listen what Joel says here in chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Remember, you and I are his holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes, for it is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, remember, when the Bible talks about these things, it's not necessarily talking about the condition of the heavens right above your head. Darkness, gloominess, and things like that is often referring to ignorance. Ignorance instead of truth. Ignorance instead of justice. Ignorance listening to men instead of to our Creator. As the dawn spreading on the mountains, a great and strong people, Aryans, there has never been the like. Neither will there be any more after them, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. So the people themselves, the ones worthy of going forward, you and I, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see fires before you and behind you. You're still standing, though. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yes, and no one has escaped them. No one worthy of being destroyed, that is. Their appearance is as the appearance of horses, and they run as horsemen. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. At their presence the peoples are in anguish, all faces have gone pale. They run like mighty men, they climb the wall like warriors. They each march in his line, and they do not swerve, off course. Neither does one jostle another. They march everyone in his path. You know, that's the problem with the white race. We jostle each other. We stick knives in each other's backs. We gossip. And they burst through the defense, and they do not break ranks. Remember that, Whitey? Don't break ranks. They rush on the city. They run on the wall. They climb up into the houses, and they enter into the windows like thieves. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. Yahweh thunders his voice before his army. For his forces are very great. For he is strong who obeys his command. Are you listening, Aryan warriors? For he is strong who obeys his command. For the day of Yahweh is great and very awesome, and who can endure it? Yet even now, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Tear your heart, and not your garments, and turn to Yahweh your Elohim God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering to Yahweh your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the elders, gather the children and those who nurse from breasts. Oh, that's funny. It doesn't say nurse from an Enfamil bottle, does it? Let the bridegroom go out of his room, and the bride out of her room. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your children, Yahweh, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rise or rule over them. Why should they say amongst the people, where is your God? Then Yahweh was jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Yahweh answered his people, behold, I will send you grain, new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. Now, that's future tense, because I'm going to tell you, the Aryan race right now is a reproach amongst the nations. But I will remove the northern army far away from you, and will drive it into a barren and desolate land. Its front into the eastern sea, and its back into the western sea, and its stench will come up, and its bad smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Land, Don't be afraid. Be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh has done great things. Do not be afraid, you animals of the field, or beasts of the field, meaning you other people. For the pastures of the wilderness spring up, for the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, you Aryan white men and women, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim God, for he gives you the early rain in just measure, and he causes the rain to come down on you. The early rain and the latter rain, as before. The threshing floors will be full of wheat, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will restore you to you the years that the swarming locust have eaten. Swarming locust has eaten. Swarming locust is what? All the aliens in the white lands. The great locust, the grasshopper, and the caterpillar. My great army, which I sent among you. Yeah, army of misfits, army of aliens among you. He sent them as punishment. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied and will praise the name of Yahweh your God. So people always say, well, where's God? Why don't I have this? Why don't... Because it says right here, you're going to have plenty. You're going to be satisfied, but it's you who praise the living God. You white men and women that think you're going to do it all on your own, let me know how it works out for you. How's it been working out so far? Last time I checked, the racialist groups that are having the most success acknowledge our Heavenly Father. Don't shun him. Don't call the writings of our book Jewish. Jews didn't create anything. The only thing they have the right to do is to alter or change things, to deceive you. They don't create anything. Take a look at the world around you. What do the Jews have? Things they stole from somebody else. Who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people will never again be disappointed. You will know that I am among Jacob Israel, and that I am Yahweh your Elohim God, and there is no one else, and my people will never again be disappointed. It will happen afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Talking about you and me, ladies and gentlemen. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And also on the servants and on the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. It will happen that whoever will call on Yahweh's name shall be saved. Are you paying attention, Jacob Israel? Verse 32. It will happen that whoever will call on Yahweh's name shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, and as Yahweh has said, and among the remnant those whom Yahweh calls. That's right. What's the word saint come from? Ecclesia in the Greek. The called out ones. Those are the saints. Glory be to the Father. Luke 18, verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Sadly, not much. Not much. I only got a few more. Ephesians 6, starting verse 11. Starting verse 10. Finally, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or we could say the devil's children. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Where's all the misfit behavior coming from? It's not coming from individual people, but people working as part of the beast system. It's what it means by principalities. The ecclesiastical church, the organized church world, is a spiritual enemy to truth and justice. Therefore, put on the whole armor of Yahweh God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Couple more quick ones. 1 Thessalonians 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that anything be written to you, for you yourselves know well that the day of Yahweh comes like a thief in the night. For when they are saying, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction will come, like birth pains on a pregnant woman. Then they will in no way escape. Last but not least, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. When you are in oppression, and all these things have come on you, in the latter days you shall return to Yahweh your Elohim God and listen to his voice. See, that's our problem. We've been listening to the wrong voices. We've been taking instruction from the very worst of people instead of the best of our people. And that's why we've been led astray. We've been deceived. Remember, the Israeli Mossad, which is their assassination squad, bunch of misfits, their motto is, by deception thou shalt make war. Right? By deception. Doesn't say that the Jew will make war by standing out there with shield and spear. That's not the Jew. They're cowards. They make war by deception. They get you to kill each other. Look at the World War I and World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, but especially World War I and World War II and the Civil War in America. Wars where white men were fighting white men at behest of the Jew. While they sat safely in their synagogue, counting the money they were making by financing both sides as white men killed each other. No more wars. No fratricidal wars, brother against brother. No more. No more. Instead of whacking at the tree, 1,000 whacking at the tree of evil, as Henry David Thoreau said, Why doesn't the white race look to the root of our problems? I grew up on a farm. I happen to know that when you chop the root of a tree, the tree dies. When you chop the root of the tree dies and falls over. All the branches die and go away. All the branches, whether it's the economy, whether it's the misfits walking amongst you, the tearing down of your institutions, the breaking up of your family, the women that are out of control, all the branches on the tree go away when you chop the root. And how do you know where the root to this tree of evil is? Follow the money. Follow the money. It's as easy as that. Follow the money. That's pretty much all I've got for today. I'll tell you, you got to stay strong, and it's not easy. I'll admit it. It's not easy. There's a lot of stuff going on. But you have to stay focused on the truths that you do know. And I'm going to say it again. More and more people are starting to do it, but you have got to shut that television off. And if you need to, get those electronic devices away from your children. Yeah, they're going to bitch and scream and yell, but do you love them enough? Do you have the tough love it takes? Get that shit out of their hands. You are giving the enemy access to their young minds through their ears and eyes, to teach them lies and deception. As we look at the condition of the world, you got to understand, Yahshua said himself, my remnant, my flock is a little flock. How many of us will be standing when the fire of judgment burns this absolutely sick world to the ground? Not a whole lot, but it's going to be like a forest fire. Forest fire will burn up the weak, the dead, the dying. But when it's done, that forest will come back thicker and stronger than it was before. The white race, when this is over, will be stronger and thicker than it ever was, because we have a lot of sick, dead, and dying trees and branches amongst our people. That's why Yahweh says, I will judge my house. I will bring judgment on my house, my people first, because there's too many of them. Sick, weak, dead, and dying that need to be purged out. And with the remnant that's left, I will bring my law on this earth to the Aryan Adamic man that's left after I get done with this fiery judgment. I will clean up the rest of this world. All these other races that are committing these crimes, pedophilia, rape, slavery, murder, they're all going to be hung in trees. We're going to go all over this earth and find every misfit. And they're going to hang in a tree. And the entire earth will return to peace and prosperity. The entire earth will know what it was like in the garden in the beginning. But the remnant of the Aryan race that will become the spear in the hand of our Father. We have to purge the weak, dead and dying, out of our ranks. And sadly, it's going to be a lot of people. I already know, and I've known for years, I'm going to lose close friends, or at least people I thought were close friends. I'm going to lose some of my family. I've already lost some to the bullshit that's been going on the last 3 years. And right now, I have a former wife in the hospital with a heart condition. And yes, she believed the bullshit and put the jab in her. She regrets it now. She repents. But it's in the Father's hands whether she'll ever come out of that hospital. We're going to have to toughen up, ladies and gentlemen, because you're going to lose a lot. You're going to see this world burnt to the ground. It's going to burn. He's going to burn everything to the ground because most of it is wicked, wicked, wicked. So a lot of things that you think are necessary or you like to have in your life, you're going to have to learn to do without them because you're not going to have much longer. But in the end, it will be better than it's ever been. You'll be truly free men and women upon the land to live your lives as you believe they should be led, to bring about justice at the local community level instead of in the hands of these misfits that have it now. So, yes, it will be painful to get there, but it will be glorious after it's over. That's why Yahshua told you it's like giving birth to a child. And ladies, you know, 9 months of putting up with the kicking and the turning and the think changes, hormonal changes, and you go through all that. And then at the end, it comes upon you as a thief in the night. All of a sudden, you're there giving birth, and it's painful. But every woman I've ever talked to said, as soon as that baby is in her arms, all that pain's forgotten. And again, there's some exceptions. Don't give me the exceptions. I'm talking about the rule. The joy of that baby overrides what it took to get there. The joy of the kingdom to come of our Heavenly Father for our people will make the pain and suffering we go through today a piece of cake. We will soon forget it when we are free from the entangling snares set by our enemies. And we know who the chief one is amongst them. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to teach and to talk to our fellow brothers and sisters across this earth. These are perilous times, and we're seeing many, many wicked things going on. Help your sons and daughters who truly love you, who love truth and justice, who call upon your name. Help them to see beyond this, to see what's on the other side. Right now we have to take on the mantle of survivors. We have to come through this fire. Help us to see that. Give us a stiff backbone to do it and to make proper preparations. And we'll count on you and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us get through this. In the meantime, forgive us our sins. Wash us anew in the blood of the Lamb, spiritually speaking. Cleanse us of our sins. Cleanse us of our wrongdoing. And be with us and guide us as our counselor. And always we ask, Father, as we go through this time, protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
There ain't really nothing wrong with your woman at home. Just you desperately long to feel young again. So you'll spend in your nights chasing honky-tonk lights. That's a real good way to wind up lonesome. You're living your dreams, running through your veins, and living beyond your means, way too fast. Thinking the fountain of youth is filled with gin and vermouth. Well, that's a real good way here to wind up lonesome. For so long, she'll go looking for someone. The few nights when you're gone, so go ahead and press your luck. Go on and live it up. That's a real good way here to wind up lonesome.
her lonely. For so long, she'll go looking for someone to feel that when you're gone. So go ahead and take it from me. Look in these lonely eyes and see. And that's a real good way to wind a love song. That's a real good way to wind a love song.
Yahshua shed his blood for Israel and Judah, and I want to magnify his name, because yesterday, today, and forever he is the same. He's given me joy in the place of sorrow. He's given me hope to face tomorrow. And he is light, and in him there is no darkness. Leave me, and his word abides forever. He bled and he died, and he rose again for me. He came to set the captives free. He bound up my broken heart, and he healed. Very soon. Hallelujah. I praise his name. Yahshua is forever the same. And I want to serve him all my days. He is the Lamb of God. He is worthy to be praised. He is the Lamb of God, and he is worthy to be
in an ancient century when the Irish Celts set sail. Up to the Pictland Isles came the Scottish Gael. Hush, the tides were telling, many a soul would roam, searching for a future, searching for a home.
History alone will surely show.